Well, happy January 8th, everybody, 2018. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio as we start the second week in January with some teacher voice. Okay, we're going to hear from a great teacher, a wonderful 24 years of experience educator out of New Jersey, Chrissy Romano, who's wrote a wonderful post on EdSurge, and that won this month's editorial award from SmartBrief, smartbrief.com. Okay, and I always remind people they do curated news in every industry pretty much, but they focus on education for their education newsletters. They're great. They're free. They come into your inbox, and all you have to do is go to smartbrief.com/industry/education. Sign up for them. They're free, no tricks, and it's just wonderful, wonderful news. And their wonderful editor, Melissa Greenwood, goes through all the posts that are out there, as many as she can, okay, in education all month long, and picks a few winners, though a lot of them deserve it as well. We can only do two a month, and Chrissy is our winner this time, so I'll bring her on in just a second. She wrote a great post, and then we'll talk about some other things she wants to talk about as well. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org, education-talkradio.org. Our schedule's up there for the week, and we change it every Saturday. Facebook is at EduTalk Radio, LinkedIn as well, and also Twitter over at EduTalk Radio. You can follow us, and we'll send you a direct link before the show. Okay, without further ado, let me bring on the amazing Chrissy Romano. Hi, Chrissy. We finally got
it
together.
Hi, good morning. Good morning.
How are you? How are you? I have to say, Chrissy and I had... She was kind enough to get everything to me right on time, which disappeared into the ether, okay? And we had to postpone the show from last week to this week, okay? So it's a pleasure to have you here, and I'm so glad you're clear. We originally were going to do the show at 3 in the afternoon, but luckily you're clear at 9 in the morning here. So this is just perfect, Chrissy. How was your weekend? Is it warm down there in Jersey for a change?
It is not warm. It is bitterly cold in New Jersey. We're not used to cold weather like this.
Yeah, I live in Maine.
Oh,
okay?
How cold?
I'm
trying to think. Yesterday,
yeah,
I think we had a high of 8 degrees yesterday. That's without the wind chill. So we're not used to that in Jersey.
That's 5 degrees better than us. I woke up yesterday morning, the temperature, so help me, no wind chill, was minus 20.
I believe it.
Yeah,
we're just
Southern
not used
Maine,
to that down
so. Here. Yeah, I'm not used to it either. I'm from Philly. Give me a break. Okay, I live in Maine. I'm from Philly. It's freezing up here. All right, my wife's constantly cold. Chrissy's really cool. She tweets and has a post at the her Twitter is the Connected EDU, and her blog is the ConnectedEducator.com, and she won this award for one she put up on EdSurge. Okay, so you want to tell us about the Connected Educator before we go further?
Sure. Well, let's see.
Sure.
So the Connected Educator is not only the name of my blog where, you know, I post different, I guess, thoughts about education, reflections, tips and ideas and things like that. I'm a Google certified trainer, so sometimes I do blog about technology integration or ways to get more Googly. But it's also the name of my business. So like I said, I am a trainer, so I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, tell about your business so people can get in touch with you. That's wonderful.
Oh, sure. So like I said, I am a Google certified trainer. So I spend, some time going out to, school districts in New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, training their staff on basically all things Googly. I do more than that, but that's basically the heart and soul of what I do.
Fantastic. Yeah. And in the meantime, in your spare time, you're a teacher. Okay, which
I should say it's the other way around. Teaching is my full-time job. I do the other other stuff on the side.
I know. I'm only kidding you. Chrissy sleeps for one half hour a day, and moves on. Okay, it's unbelievable. And but this is the I always love to ask this question. You teach fourth grade at I don't know how you have the patience to do that. I taught secondary school at Nellie K. Parker Elementary School in Hackensack, New Jersey. Okay, and I always love to ask this question. Brag about your kids this year so they can hear you and play this back for them. And then tell us, and everybody has to know this about their school, who is Nellie K. Parker?
Okay,
there you
so
go,
first, Nellie K. Parker was the first African-American woman to be a principal in Hackensack, New Jersey. She was actually the first African-American woman to even be hired as a teacher. So she's definitely somebody worth Googling.
Wow.
And it's a great honor to be teaching, you know, at that school. My mother-in-law actually remembers her. From her time, because we were born and raised in Hackensack, myself, my husband, my in-laws, my parents, all still there. And, I remember when I taught at Hackensack Middle School for a long time and was recently transferred, I guess, not this school year, last school year, to Nellie K. Parker. So I didn't know the history there. And during Women's History Month, we did an assembly, and the kids got up there and spoke about Nellie K., and I thought that was pretty cool.
You know, I ask people all the time who is the person who their school's named for, and actually some people don't know, but 99% of them do. But that was one of the better stories, I got to tell you. That's a great story. Okay, that was really good, I have to tell you. And I keep wanting to say you're 25 years old, but you've been teaching for 25 years.
I wish. I feel like I'm 25.
You
no,
sound
teaching,
like you're 25. You sound like you're 25. So
Thank you.
I bet you're just a terrific teacher. But I think you want to talk today about some other things beyond your post, if I'm reading what you sent me correctly. But I just want to concentrate on the post you won for, which is really a nice post. And I just want to talk about this for a second. I'm going to get the date here. It's from the 8th of November, 2017. Mm-hmm. It's on EdSurge, okay? And we'll just talk about this for a few minutes. So we can go anywhere you want on this. But and it's one of your technology columns. Snapchat, Instagram, YouTube. Oh, my. Four tools. Why do you say four tools? Snapchat, Instagram, YouTube. Four tools for picking in the classroom. Which one did you forget to put in the title?
Probably Twitter.
You did. You forgot Twitter. Snapchat,
maybe
Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Oh, my. Well, I keep raising my hand as I do that. Four tools for picking in the classroom. Before we go further, say hello to your kids in fourth grade over at Nellie Parker.
Hey, guys. Hope everybody is doing well with a substitute teacher today. I'm actually out sick today.
I'm sorry to hear that.
They're a great group of kids. They work so well together. They are incredibly curious and kind, and we're having a really awesome year at Nellie K this year.
What a nice thing to say. Hi, kids in Mrs. Romano's classroom. That's just absolutely wonderful. Uncle Larry says hello. All right. Okay, let's talk about this for just a minute. We can go anywhere you want, okay? But you just started you called this about picting, making pictures, and you started this with saying a picture is worth 1,000 words, okay? And that's pretty much true, all right? And so you've allowed your kids to do a lot of stuff, it seems to me, and you also mentioned another teacher down in Delaware. Let me just get down there, whatever her name is, you remember? I'm getting there.
Rosie Burke.
Rosie Burke, exactly right.
Yep.
Rosalyn Burke, who is in Newcastle, Delaware. So just talk to people that you should read this post, again, EdSurge on the 8th of November last year, and just tell us what you thought was in there, because it seems to me that you're using all these things, which, by the way, is really great, because you were trained to be a teacher, if I may, a long time ago. And for you to do this stuff that's, if I may, quite modern, okay, and really get the kids involved with all this and take the time to do that, like so many teachers do, is really important. You shouldn't be scared of this stuff. So just talk about picting, and we'll let them read the post.
Sure. Well, I guess basically the idea is that we are really moving away from text-based stuff. Think about the social media tools that are out there and that are really popular with you know, teenagers and you know, kids in their 20s, some of the ones that I mentioned here, you know, are you know, Snapchat, Instagram, and YouTube. Those are the top three. And I think one of the most amazing things is you ask any elementary or middle school kid, like, who's their favorite actor or actress on TV, and they kind of look at you like they're like, what? Like, what do you mean? Like,
TV?
They don't even know what you're talking about. But then you turn around and you ask them,
well,
who's your favorite YouTuber? And they have no problem. Spitting out a YouTuber. And I heard that at a conference from Rich Kiker. I'm trying to think. He's out of Pennsylvania as well. the world's best Google trainer. I learned everything I know from him, a good friend and mentor
nice.
To me. And he mentioned that at a conference like 3 years ago. And I remember sitting there and I'm like, really? Is he serious? So I went home, and at that time my son was, I guess, 10 or 11. And I asked him that very question. And he's like, Mom, I don't watch TV. I was like, you know what? You don't.
Wow.
I come to think of it, he's got a beautiful smart TV in his room, but he uses all the smart features, doesn't actually watch television. And he was very quick to rattle off like top three YouTubers. And at that time I was teaching middle school, and I did that with all of my classes, you know, that Monday when I went back and I asked them, and it was pretty much the same response. So I was like, wow. I'm like, we as teachers really need to meet kids where they are and be more relevant in order to
mm-hmm.
connect with
yeah.
them. You know, we are battling things that are out there that there's, you know, if you don't switch it up and do things differently than what you're, you know, the way we were taught in school, we're never going to, you know, connect with these kids. We're not going to engage them. So yeah, that was like an eye opener for me. You know,
it is an
back.
Eye opener. And I have to say, you know, we're talking about kids here as Education Talk Radio, and regardless of what you think of President Trump, I'm not trying to take a political stand here. He was able to use it. He was able to engage his audience by use of social media. Okay, and like I said, regardless of what you might think of him, and not just you, everybody out there listening, okay, he really changed things in that regard, and he changes them every day.
Yeah,
look at his Twitter, okay, and how he uses that, all right, and it creates news, it puts him in the spotlight, good or bad, whatever. But it's just amazing, and if we don't glomp on that, okay, and see. Okay, the power of the social media, and understand that Donald Trump is far from a digital native, believe me, okay, like I am. But if we got to see this for the kids, the power of this and what it can do in a classroom and how it changes things. And I hope, and I work with them a lot, that the colleges and teacher education are picking up on this. You know, actually, that's a good question, Chrissy. You know, you're all in favor of this kind of thing. When you see a new teacher come in, okay, are they, and they're digital natives, are they aware of the power of social media and all these picketing sites that they can work with?
Here's the interesting thing. Like you just said, you work with, you know, colleges quite frequently, and so do I.
Sure.
Many of the local colleges and universities in New Jersey, I go in and I do, you know, trainings, webinars.
Nice,
Work with
Great
the mentoring programs, the Future Teachers of America programs, things like that. And the interesting thing is you would think that kids in their college years would be the most social media savvy out there. They're not.
Hmm.
They're really, truly not. They don't really wrap their heads around the value of social media with regard to teaching and education. You know, they strictly see it as social media for social media,
yeah,
for
social
purposes.
Friends.
And it's
yeah.
been ingrained in these kids that when they hit their sophomore, junior year of high school, that they need to switch it up and shut down social media because of college applications. So my daughter's 20 years old. She's a junior at Montclair University here in New Jersey. So
mm-hmm.
from personal experience, when she hit the end of sophomore, beginning of junior year, all of a sudden I saw a change in her social media profiles, in the way that she was interacting on social media. Because one of the deals was way back when she was like 12, 13, and just started, you know, on social media. I was like, you can't do anything unless, you know, you friend me or
right.
you know, allow me to stalk you. Basically, that's
yeah.
and that was my first foray into social media, was through her. Because prior to that, I didn't have Facebook. I didn't have Twitter. Like, I did not have a clue. So
yeah.
if you actually look at my Twitter page and it shows the date, like how long you've been on Twitter – it's kind of funny. It's really – that's not how long I've been on Twitter as an active user in education the way I am now. It's because
wow.
I started as a stalker of my child back when she was like 12 or 13. So it actually shows that I'm on it, you know, way longer than I was actually really active. And it's amazing how
– look what you've done. Look where you are now.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, times have changed for me, and I've definitely managed to leverage social media for more than
sure.
just the social purposes of it. But when I sit, I just did a new teacher seminar in the district where I work, and it was all about making learning more authentic. And they just looked at me like I had three heads. They were like, yeah, no, no, we're not doing that. They're afraid. That's one thing. There's a great deal of fear.
New teachers or
new teachers are afraid. They're afraid of putting things out there for the public. So what happened was I had this great session planned to work with them, and halfway through we just stopped, and I was like, okay, so we need to address the fear. Like, we need to go in a different direction here, because if you're just afraid of putting things out there, afraid of getting fired, afraid of getting written up, I said, you know, we need to address that, and there are ways around that as well. And if anybody reads the actual post, at the very, very bottom, there is a little disclaimer on kind of how to go around it, especially if you're teaching kids younger than 13 who are not supposed to be, although they are, they're not supposed to be on these social media accounts. So there's ways around it, because I taught third grade last year, fourth grade this year, and my kids are very active on social media, but it all is funneled through a class account that ultimately I do have that, bit of control before it goes out to the world.
Yeah, that's cool. And you know, it begs the question, as new teachers were asking you, should they be afraid? I mean, because what you put out there, I mean, you works for a school district. They want to control their message. And I work with the National School Public Relations Association all the time. One of the key things about a school district or a school is they want to control that message that gets out to the public, not to the point of Joseph Stalin, where they give you a firing squad, but they just, you know, they don't want the Wild West out there, to be quite honest.
I totally understand.
So should they be afraid? Yeah, of course you do. So should those new teachers be afraid till they get the, and a strong word, afraid, till they get their feet wet and really understand what's going on?
I think there are ways to dip your toes in the water without it being so scary. You know, Seesaw is an excellent platform. A closed environment. It's a great entry point for any age group, but especially the younger kids. There are ways for them to practice appropriate digital citizenship and appropriate online behaviors within a controlled, atmosphere, like a safe space. So that's an option. Having class accounts where, the teacher ultimately is the person that's posting, there are ways around it. I have to say this, and I have this conversation with colleagues all the time, and we'll talk about pushback a little bit later, because I know that's one of the questions we were going to talk about. I've always believed that if it's the best thing for the kids, that you have to kind of put that fear aside and you have to do what's, good and right and engaging, because the kids should be at the forefront of everything that you're doing and thinking and planning for. So I've always been a little rogue when it comes to just kind of like doing things, and I've never really been the one, there's a saying in education, ask for forgiveness, not for permission. Before I even knew that was a saying, going back 20-something years, I was doing it, before flexible seating became, that's another article that I also wrote about for EdSurge, before it became such a huge thing, a fad that it is now. I mean, I was doing it 25 years ago, when I pulled in a rocking chair, my grandmother's rocking chair, and a carpet and bean bags and, all that sort of thing. So I don't know, for me, like, fear, I never had that fear. I always figured that I'm a smart enough person that I'm going to make good choices. And I'm not going to put something out there, that's going to get me or in trouble or make the district look bad. Interestingly enough, like, I created a Twitter account that I used for teaching and, education purposes before my district even had any kind of a social media policy.
Wow.
I sit on the digital learning team committee, and last year, every time we met, which was a couple of maybe five times over the course of the year, I was like, we need a social media policy. So the only policy that we have in the district is for kids' pictures on a school website. It was so incredibly outdated. And, every time I mentioned it, the head of technology, who I love dearly, he's a great guy, and we work very closely together, he's just like, oh, Chris, and he just, like, rolls his eyes because he's all about data, privacy, afraid about what's going to be put out there, people going rogue, and like you said earlier, you know, wanting to control the message.
I was like,
you talk about being a future-ready school district, and we have no social media footprint at all. I said, that makes no sense. I said, I just don't understand. So I hammered, you know, little by little, just kept hammering away. Reached out to a good friend down in the Tabernacle School District in New Jersey, in South Jersey. Glenn Robbins is the superintendent down there, who's one guy in New Jersey that's really at the forefront of putting his district and his teachers on social media. And I was like, Glenn, you got to help me out here. And he has a nice, updated 21st century, you know, perfect for 2017 at the time, policy for, you know, posting and using social media tools. So I grabbed that, amended it, you know, sent it off to my, you know, district administrators. And now I have to say, and I know that it had something to do with my poking and prodding, we now finally have a social media policy.
You
have to fill out a form here or there, but you can have social media accounts. They have to be used for school purposes only. You can't mix and mingle, you know, personal and school. And there's some guidelines, and you have to sign away. But they're finally understanding it's a necessity. We need a digital footprint. You know, the kids need to be active on social media.
Without
and
question.
Why not? We're doing phenomenal things in Hackensack Public Schools.
Nice
why would we not want to share those things with the world?
Right here, here. And it's, by the way, everybody, it's not Hacky Sack, it's Hackensack. Okay,
yeah.
With an N in there. Okay,
yeah.
Just so not everybody's from Philly and Jersey. I just want to make that clear, you know. And by the way, Eagles or Giants? I assume you're for the Eagles.
Eagles? No, I'm North Jersey. Are you kidding me? Honestly, my husband is a Jets fan. So.
Okay, well, that concludes this interview. Thank you, Chrissy. No, just kidding. Right.
Funny.
Tell your husband he's going to hate me. I'm a Patriots fan. Okay.
Oh, he would not be a fan of yours then.
Hates me already.
Sure.
You know, what's his first name? What's his first name, your husband?
Brian.
Brian, I'm sorry. I'm a Patriots fan. Bear with me. Okay, and what can I tell you? All right. You know, you mentioned a phrase, and I know you love this phrase and this action, authentic learning experiences. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And what do you mean by you? Because you said you want people to, that you want to brag about that and make sure it's right for the kids. What do you mean when you say authentic learning?
Well, you know, the idea behind it is I believe that kids should be doing what real people are doing, like what adults are doing. I mean, think about, like, our school experiences and things that we did in school. Not
Please.
Much of that really translates directly to the real world. So,
That's right.
You know, one
and
of the,
you
like, too. For me, I'm sorry?
I used to. That's for darn sure.
Yeah, no. And I got to tell you, when you walk into many, many classrooms, and like I said, I have that wonderful opportunity as a Google trainer to visit lots and lots of schools in the tri-state area. And it's always a shock to me when I talk about things that I've been doing for 6, 7, 8 years with technology, and people look at me like, wow, like, you know, they've literally have heard it for the first time. There's still a lot of very, very traditional teachers in classrooms out there. And not to say that all things that we did when we were kids were bad. I mean, listen, you still have to memorize your multiplication facts.
We all learn.
You know,
we all
yeah,
learn.
Like
yeah.
There are things that I did 25 years ago that I look back and I'm like, wow, I can't believe I did that knowing what I know now. But, you know, you do the best with the information and the knowledge that you have at the time. But I really do feel that kids should be doing things in school to prepare them not necessarily for college, because I will say this, having a kid in college and working with college programs and with new teachers, they are so far behind the eight ball when it comes to technology integration, authentic learning, compared to what we do in the K-12 systems.
Mm-hmm.
They are still doing in college
way,
today what was done 100 years ago.
Don't go to college. Just all become plumbers. You'll make a fortune. There's no plumbers out there.
Listen, there's no joke there. I'm going to tell you something.
I'm not making
plumber.
A joke. There are no plumbers out there. An incredible, by the way, profession. Okay?
Yeah.
It's really physics. I don't care what anybody says. Okay? And you can't get a plumber if you need one.
Yeah,
you're
I absolutely agree
woman.
With you that I think that there
yeah.
is going to be that cycle that is coming, that kids are going to start going back to the trades, and we desperately need that. I would not have any problem if my daughter already knows what she's doing. She's going to be a social worker. She's well on her way to doing that. But my son, he's 13.
Yeah.
He has no clue. So it's funny that my husband and I are always like
give him a pipe and
kind
a wrench.
Of pushing him in that
Tell
direction.
Tell Brian to give him a pipe and a wrench and play with that. And he's rich. He's rich. Okay.
True.
Really?
Yeah, there's truth in that.
You know, but what you said, you know, it struck me. There was something you said that we're not getting kids ready for the real world. And my standing joke on that is that I've been in business and all that for a long time, and I've never in my life had a boss tell me, clear your desk. We need a new marketing plan.
Yeah.
Nobody ever says clear your desk. The whole purpose of learning is to work with the resources you have. Okay?
You know, it's funny. There was a YouTube video that I stumbled upon a couple of years ago, and it was a little cartoon about a kid, like a recent college graduate, going for an interview for a new job.
Yeah.
And it was like every question that the interviewer asked, the kids were trying to figure out, is it A, B, C, or D? Like coming up with like some multiple choice sort of a thing.
Yeah,
because schools have become so focused on the test and, you know, scores and meeting all these requirements so you're not, a school in need of improvement and all that stuff. The kids are coming out and they're not coming out with real skills. So I guess that's really my goal. And as a teacher of literacy, you know, for 25 years, literacy is a part of everything that we do. So I really, really focus on creating experiences for my kids that they fall in love with books, that they get lost, you know, in a book.
Good
that when
that.
I say, okay, boys and girls, put your books away and let's move on, that they don't even hear me. Like, I don't even take offense to that. It's like they're so lost in what they're doing. So the way I structure our reading and writing time is more around what real readers and writers do. Now, for me, it comes pretty easy. I'm an avid reader. I always have been. I was that nerdy kid that would rather pick up a book than go to a party. I'm a writer, obviously. You know, I write for EdSurge. I'm not in the process of writing a book right now, which we could talk a little bit about that later.
We've got about 6 minutes left. I wanted to tell you, we got about 6 minutes left.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow, we didn't
yeah,
even get to
fast.
Like half of anything.
Come back on.
Sure. So I try to make things, you know, authentic. So when kids, you know, I don't tell the kids, like, you know, this is what we're going to read today. You know, they pick the books out of a classroom library. They read what they want to read. Of course, they teach a mini lesson and they learn some of those skills, but then they go off and they apply it in books that are interesting to them. They sit around and they talk about books. They blog about books. So I try to give them experiences that are going to carry over into the real world. You know, they have to learn how to work with one another. They have to learn to be kind and, you know, be empathetic to others.
For a second, okay? That's the second time, and I was going to bring it up to you. You did it at the beginning when I asked you to describe your kids. You just said it again. You said the kids were kind. They were empathetic, which is wonderful, okay? And you talked about teaching literacy, but you're teaching something else too. And it's a common phrase these days, but it's really important. And it's social-emotional learning, okay?
Yeah.
When you talk about giving kids an authentic learning experience so they are prepared for the world, I'll give you a great quote. This was a guy I interviewed from Ohio. He places kids into jobs. And he said, invariably, people or kids are hired for their hard skills. But invariably, they are fired for their lack of soft skills.
Yep,
by soft skills, he was talking about social emotional. Okay,
yep.
They can't get along with people or whatever. Okay, and just talk about, and by the way, you're welcome to come back on and talk about your book
sure.
and all that sort of thing as we wind down here. That's no problem whatsoever, Chrissy. Talk about social emotional in your classroom, because you've used that word kind twice, and I know that's important to you. And
so,
talk about
yeah,
that
it really
in relationship
is.
To authentic learning. Yeah.
You know, when I started teaching 25 years ago, I mean, I have to be honest, I came in and I was like the drill sergeant. Like, I was a hard ass.
Of course.
I was like sitting in rows, we're doing this, you're memorizing this. And, you know, as I grew older, as I had my own children, and just, you know, as you just grow as a person, I realized that if kids don't like you, they're not going to learn from you. And it's just as simple as that. So I spend the good portion of the first 2 months of school building rapport with my kids, and not only my kids, but the parents of my children,
right,
to create that kind of school family atmosphere. And I am very transparent with the parents, you know, through the Seesaw platform, through newsletters home, at back-to-school night. I let them know straight up, don't worry, we're going to dig into the content and your kids are going to learn everything that they need to learn as a fourth grader, or at the time a third grader, when they walk out of here, and they will be thoroughly prepared for the next grade level. Absolutely no problem. I said, but before we get there, I said, we need to connect with one another. You know, we need to build that rapport. I need to get to know them, and they need to get, you know, to know me. So for if you can't attend, and I think it's a huge mistake that a lot of teachers make, and I did make that at the beginning of my career as well, they're focused so much on content. But if you neglect the social-emotional aspect of kids, you're neglecting probably three-quarters of who they are. So,
and
you know, Donald Graves,
you're also neglecting at least half of what they need to be.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
they are
absolutely
not going to succeed without, you know, content's important. I taught history, believe me, okay? But the social-emotional learning is just key. And by the way, when I was a teacher, that term didn't even exist. Nobody cared.
No, you're right.
Yeah,
I mean, going back 25 years, like, that was just, like, you know, unheard of as well. But like I said, I've been a literacy teacher for a really long time, and Donald Graves, who's the father of Writer's Workshop and somebody I really have looked up to in my growing as a professional, has a saying that I absolutely love, and I'm going to paraphrase here because I know I butcher it when I try to actually directly quote him. But he says, if you don't know 10 things about a kid, you're not going to be very effective in teaching them.
Huh.
And if they don't know 10 things about you, they're not going to want to learn from you. So that's one of the and I heard that years ago, when that stuck with me and really resonated with me. And I'm like, wow. Listen, I went to Catholic school, K-12. So I straight up lived that life of where you could not connect with the person standing at the front of the room. Like, you would just tune out. And I was that type of kid that I would just tune out, and I would just kind of figure it out on my own and did a lot of the learning on my own. So I really make a concerted effort for kids to know more about me than just, yes, I'm a teacher of kids, I'm a teacher of English, I teach social studies, blah, 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 I'm a fourth grade teacher. You know, they know about my kids, they know about my family, you know, they know that people that know me, they call our house, affectionately call it like a zoo. We have lots of fish tanks, lots of different animals, and, you know, I talk about that stuff with the kids. They know I spend my summers at the beach at LVI. They know the things that I love to do. And I make the effort to try to find out those things about them. So when they walk in our room, it's like they're home away from home, that it's just another comfortable place for them.
You just said you spend the beach at LVI. What's LVI?
Oh, I spend my summers. It's Long Beach Island. It's a little island on the Jersey Shore.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I knew that. I thought you said LVI, and I'm thinking.
No. Long Beach Island. Yeah, it's
yeah, I was thinking
it's just a little
Long
island.
Valley. I couldn't figure out what that was. We're going to go. Chrissy, are you writing a book? You just said that a few minutes ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm in the process of writing a book, and the focus really, it's all about social and emotional learning, more specifically about introverts.
And when will it be published?
I don't have a date right now. I'm hoping for
the
summer.
A publisher yet?
That's my
goal.
Have a publisher? I'm working with a publisher right now, but we haven't finalized everything. So I have my fingers crossed. But I would love to come back
and
talk more about that for sure.
Yeah. If you want to talk some more, you're a wonderful guest. Give me a call or send me an email today or tomorrow. Okay, we'll set up a second show because I feel like I cut you off. We just got to go in a minute or so. All right?
Sure.
So will you do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Did you have fun? I told you before.
Yeah. Listen, this was great. I mean, even though we couldn't quite get our schedule together, and I was like, oh, is
we
it going to happen?
Together.
Is it not going to happen? I think
it
turned out great.
It was a pretty funny grouping of circumstances. And I know you had
yes.
the flu before Christmas and
yes.
then vacation and all this sort of stuff. So it was pretty nuts. But we got it together, and we'll do more there. The flu's
awesome.
Back. Congratulations. Yeah. Okay. Sorry you called.
Thanks.
All right. So get back in touch with me and have a great day today. Feel better.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Great talking to you, Larry.
Oh, thanks, Chrissy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, Chrissy Romano, theconnecteducator.com. And Chrissy, is that, wait, let me get it here. Hold on. Theconnecteducator.com. Okay, and she tweets at theconnected.edu. All right. Good one, Chrissy. Quite get back in touch. We'll find out two things, the rest of what you want to say, and B, if we can drive your son to become a plumber. Okay? And he'll be rich and driving around in a Mercedes his whole life. Right? Thanks, Chrissy. This was just great.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, everybody. It's good stuff, and we'll get her back on. She's really cool. Thank you, SmartBrief. SmartBrief.com. Teacher voice. There you heard it. She's wonderful. As so many of you are. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org and tweet it out over at EduTalk Radio, per usual. My name's Larry Jacobs. We have another show coming up, very interesting show coming. Not that this one wasn't, but we got another one coming up, 10:30 this morning, January 8th. We've got the National Board of Professional Teaching Standards, those folks who certify teachers to be board certified. But they're working a lot with the Bureau of Indian Education, which is a very overlooked part of American education. And they're doing everything they can to get those teachers, wonderful, dedicated teachers, board certified. So we're doing that show at 10:30 today. Chrissy, thank you. Melissa over at Smart Brief, thank you. We'll archive the show, education-talkradio.org. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.